It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. City Controller Michael Lamb calls it a runaway train. Pittsburgh is experiencing a problem paying overtime, holiday, and other premium costs to public safety personnel. Reporter Eric Holmberg of our content partner Public Source looked into this, and he has joined us in studio. Eric Holmberg, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks for having me, Paul.
This is incredible, something that I think a lot of people in Pittsburgh are not aware of. Mayor Bill Peduto, who makes $107,500, normally he's the third highest paid employee, the mayor is, he does not rank among the city's 300 highest paid employees when you factor in overtime. How is this possible? Emergency personnel are getting paid so much overtime that they are now have salaries, just the overtime alone, that amount of money exceeds the mayor's salary. How is this possible?
Right. I think we all understand that in police and in fire and EMS, there's going to be overtime. I think we all understand that. But I guess what stood out with this fact about the mayor is to the extent to which he falls down the rankings. So, you know, there are tons of people, public safety department, which is, you know, we were focused on police, fire, and EMS. Not in the top 300 last year, wasn't in the top 400 the year before that. And so you really see the story sort of came out of, well, we're going to look at overtime, but then it really became something else. It really became more a story of workforce management. How is the city planning its staffing? How is it planning going forward? These are really interesting topics, and it's sort of happening on a couple of different levels. It's happening on an administrative level. But when you talk budgets, we all know what's happening in Harrisburg. Budgets are political. They are not just administrative.
Right. And so why is the city so understaffed when it comes to, you know, emergency personnel, you know, people who are, you know, handling emergency medical services, police, fire, et cetera? Who is responsible for making sure that there is adequate staffing?
So I think the responsibility falls in a couple different areas. So obviously the public safety departments are going to be doing a lot of the recruiting, personnel, budget. So there are a lot of different city offices that are involved in this. But if you talk about, say, EMS, for instance, EMS, not very understaffed. They were the closest of the three to being properly staffed. The mayor, Bill Peduto, has had this goal for the police department to have 900 officers on the beat since he took office. We're at about 840 right now. And the key part of this is that 40% of the police officers today could retire with full pension benefits. They've had 20 years of experience. They're at least 50 years of age. So this is sort of the looming crisis that Police Chief Cameron McClay talked about in January, is what happens if some of these people, more than average, you know, amount of these people start retiring? You know, are there going to be enough police officers on the streets to keep the city safe? And then when you talk about fire, they're budgeted for about 660 people. They're at about 610 right now. So again, a similar amount of understaffing, which can lead to overtime. And it may be understaffing just on a particular shift where you need someone.
And so, you know, overtime is a fact of life, you're saying, when it comes to public safety. Mm-hmm. However, when there are large amounts of overtime, what concerns does this raise for employees and ultimately for the employers overseeing them?
Right. So this is it's fine to sort of talk about the highest paid people and sort of the EMS techs and the police officers who are earning the most overtime. But we really approach the story as a management issue. You know, what is the city's personnel department, budget department doing to control this problem? And what we found out was that the city's budget department deserves some kudos. They have recognized this as a problem and have started working on it. Paul, if you've been following any of the disputes between the ICA, the state-appointed financial overseer, and their disagreements with the city.
Yes, we have.
Even the ICA says, hey, we recognize that the city is doing a good job in this aspect. We applaud their efforts to project their workforce into 2016 and 2017. You know, how many people are going to retire from the police bureau this year? What about next year? And so to keep up with those retirements and resignations, the police department, the police bureau, the budget office needs to have a plan of, we need to hire this many people to keep pace.
412-246-2002 is the number to call if you would like to join our conversation with Public Source reporter Eric Holmberg, talking about the problem paying overtime, holiday, and premium costs to public safety personnel in Pittsburgh. Again, the number 412-246-2002, email address esspgh@wesa.fm, and on Twitter at esspgh. Lisa, in an email, writes, maybe one potential solution to the lack of new public safety recruits could be the creation of a public safety magnet program in the Pittsburgh public schools. Was this something Eric found in his research?
That's not something that I found in my research. It's a very creative idea, and I really do like it. For the police, you know, the police department, the police bureau would like a training facility, much like the fire bureau has over on Washington Avenue. They would like a larger facility that they say would help bring in larger classes of police recruits.
How is the city, working when it comes to making progress toward using technology to better manage its workforce and ultimately, ideally, save money?
Mm-hmm. Which is, you know, I think one of the big trends that we can see across very broadly across many city departments is embracing technology under Mayor Peduto. If you look at what was happening with the city's permitting department, you look at parks, snow plows, and then we see it here in budgeting and the public safety bureaus. You can use all of these software programs, all of these things that the city can use to sort of be more efficient in its processes are available, and the city's working on that. You know, you may have talked with some of the folks at the ICA about the city's payroll system. Payroll system was broken for a long time. There's now, last month they've started to fix that. So, you know, this has been a trend, and we've seen it across a wide variety of areas in the city.
And I know that the focus of your story, Eric, is looking at how this problem is being managed. But what are the people who are higher up in city government saying about the human cost to working large amounts of overtime? Is there a danger to people going for overtime when they shouldn't? And you know there are going to be cases where somebody is overworked, they're tired, they probably shouldn't be working, but they see the dollars dangling in front of them and somebody says, you know, hey, we have a shift, which people don't always want to work, so it's maybe not divided up equitably, and somebody ends up taking, you know, being the same people taking the overtime. That's got to create a potentially dangerous situation for them.
Mm-hmm. And this is a real concern. You know, City Controller Michael Lamb said, he understands, you know, he's a finance guy. He understands the financial aspect of having a lot of overtime. But you get to a point where he says also about the human cost, you know, the toll that it takes on you mentally, physically, to work so much. This was what I heard, and it's laid out in the story from several people, that you really don't want, in these types of jobs where lives are at stake, and lives are at stake in all three of these bureaus, police, fire, and EMS, you want to make sure that people are rested, people are able to make good decisions in these types of positions. And while we didn't find any specific instances of somebody being tired and then thus there being some sort of adverse effect from that, it's a real concern. And I think that the potential for that is certainly there.
412-246-2002 to join the conversation with Public Source reporter Eric Holmberg. Let's go to Elizabeth in her car. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi.
Welcome.
I have a question about the way contracts are written for a public service. When a policeman or a fireman or a woman signs a contract, are they contracted to work a certain number of holidays in a year? Or is all the holiday staffing done as, quote-unquote, holiday or overtime?
Hmm. Good question.
That I don't know. I know that, you know, they certainly get paid extra for holiday pay. And, you know, there's certainly a great appreciation. A lot of the people that I talked to sort of said, you know, while we're celebrating at Christmas or Thanksgiving, you know, they're policemen, firemen, EMS workers who are out there on the jobs on those days. And so while I don't have an answer on the specific contractual language, you know, they certainly do get paid extra for those days.
And maybe if somebody has an answer or knows about that, feel free to call us at 412-246-2002 in the few minutes that we have remaining. Eric, as you embarked on this story, was there anything that you unearthed that surprised you?
Yeah, I think that there's just the vast number of people in police, fire, and EMS who are eligible to retire. And when you talk about fire and police, specifically, you have long training time. So to go from a new recruit to being an officer on the beat takes about 11 months. And fire, the training time is about 8 months. So this sort of looming problem of having lots of people pension eligible, people who could retire today with full benefits, even if the city wanted to or needed to replace all of those people today, it would be a year from now. When the people would actually be trained to replace them. So when you look at how the city is performing, you need to look at how they're planning for this. Because when the problem hits and a lot of police officers retire, well, then it's too late to start planning and start recruiting new officers. I think that was the biggest thing, and I think that's the biggest takeaway from this story is how important planning is and making sure that the city's going to be ready for that when it happens, because none of us want to see a reduction in public safety services.
Do you get a sense that the city is on this?
I would say partially. I would say this is now more my opinion. I certainly thought that Sam Ashbaugh, who's the city budget director, really smart guy, really on top of it, I think understands what the city needs to do and how they need to plan. Now, the key question here is whether that planning that they've just started is going to help before a lot of these officers, a lot of these firefighters start retiring. I think that's the real question. And the answer to that is, I don't know, and we'll see. Because it's going to be really interesting.
Do you get the sense that the city, there's a little bit of nervousness, a little bit of trepidation about the future from the mayor, the police chief, et cetera?
Yeah, while we didn't get a chance to talk to Police Chief Cameron McClay for this story, he did talk to KDK in mid-January and basically warned that this is going to be a problem. And that was sort of interesting to see while we were reporting it, because it's not really something that I've heard a lot about.
And are there any, they cited reasons for why there aren't more people in the pipeline, you know, to take jobs, you know, to take these jobs that are so vitally important to a city.
And while I didn't get into that specifically, the police chief and the mayor have certainly recognized that they need more classes. They need bigger classes. They're going to have three scheduled for this year. And that's all progress. There were some years where there were no classes of officers or firefighters. But now you've got this large mass of employees who are getting ready to retire. And so that'll sort of, their recruiting will need to ramp up in response to that.
Public Source reporter Eric Holmberg joining us in studio. Eric, as always, great work. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Paul.
Coming up, you know what Groundhog Day is, but do you know how it started? We'll fill you in. That's next on Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.